Okay, so good afternoon, everyone. And today is the last week session, and then we're followed by exam this Friday. So, as a reminder about this, so your evaluation is very important. Our class has only achieved 20% response rate, which is too low. So, I'll leave some time today in between, and I'll ask you to do some evaluations at a middle point in the class today. And the college would like to see something about 75% response rate. So we are way below that number. As I promised, I just remind you about the exams like this. There will be 70 problems in this Friday's exam, and the format will be identical to the one we held earlier in our classes. And I hope you are able to use that, go over the past questions, and that is sufficient for you to earn a good grade, I believe. And we'll also do some curving as we did for the midterm 1 and 2, so that I hope this class will not be very intrusive to your other busy schedule, but I hope you learn something from this class by going through the basic concepts in physics together. Okay? So today's plan, I can remind you again for this Friday, only bringing a piece of paper, a pencil eraser, nothing else. Please only bring in pencil eraser, okay? No calculators, no computers, no smart watches or anything, no phones, and that's anything you need, I'll write on the board for you. Okay, so as I promised, today I'll first cover some questions I see the most mistakes we made in the midterms. So I'll start with that part, and then I'll actually take some time to do some evaluation, and then resume after that point to continue our discussion of the reviews. If the time runs out, I'll post the whole review slides tonight. So you can, this afternoon basically, you can see the whole or everything in the breadboard for your review purposes. Okay. First, let me go to that slide where I need to go to slide 38. So, I'll start with the problems we made the most mistakes in our major. So this is the first question. I ask you to put your answer in. So the question is, why are there no tides in lakes? So a few choices. A, lake has fresh water, so less dense than the oceans. B, lakes tend to be much more less deep than the ocean. C, all parts of any one lake are about the same distance from the moon. D, gravitational forces of relatively small mass of water are negligibly small. E, the tides are there, but not noticeable since Earth's gravitation is much stronger. So which one is the right answer? Okay, let me see the class answer now. Here's the class answer. I'll show you now at this moment. Indeed, You can talk with your friends about why, you know, the right answer is C. This is the right answer.
C?
C. The right answer is C in this case. All parts of any one lake are much about the same distance from the moon. The reason we have tides, mainly are due to the moon. So if different parts of the water body have different distance to the moon, then they have different gravitational pull from the moon. Then results in a tide. Since the lake has a much smaller size than the ocean, so every point of the lake, almost the same distance away. Yes.
What about the Great Lakes?
Great Lakes, how big is that?
They're pretty big. I mean, they're the biggest, I think they're the biggest lakes in the world. They're in the northern part of the Northeast.
Mm-hmm. So basically the issue is about the extent of that is how many miles in dimension is a Great Lake here. That's basically the question is now, right? If you can, you know, indeed, look at the E part of it. So tides are there, but not noticeable since Earth's gravitational force is much stronger.
Oh.
This, indeed, for any lake, still have some so-called tides per se, but again, this question, this answer is correct too. If they use the right reason. Because gravitational pull is same for every part of the lake. The only difference here now is you can say that the tides are there but not noticeable since the moon's gravity is similar across the lake. Then that's the right answer again. But now the claim is due to the gravity of Earth is much stronger, is not true. Okay. So I'm going to tell you a little part of the story. And that's the reason C is the right answer. So the right answer is C. In this case, the answer is C. Now let's talk about another one. This question, I think many people make a mistake. Which one's the right answer? Your crazy uncle believes he has a lucrative idea taking the osmium from fountain pen pens and turning it into gold. To do that, he must do what? The least. Okay, so which one's the right answer? I'll close it and you can put in your answer. So, it means that you can do that with a periodic table. I don't have one here. But you can start to think about the answers and take it in. Basically, I can tell you, if you look at the periodic table, let's see, I don't have one. Where do I have one? I can. Yeah, no, it's still not usable. It's still rotated, not usable. Yeah, so let's see class answer first. The class answer is B here. The class answer B indeed is not right. So I actually talk about why this is not right. I tell B is not right. So you can talk about your friends and to say, well, which are the right answer here? You can check out your you check out your paper test, your open one, your past exams for month two.
Neutrons and electrons all
And you want to say a few words about it?
Not because it has to be
Yeah, go ahead.
Between protons and electrons. So you'd have to.
So what's your answer? You say loudly and the neutrons.
It's for the neutrons.
The answer is D. So why is D?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you are right, and you're trying to say is the right answer here for this question is D. So if you look, I unfortunately don't have this periodic table with me, but if you look at the periodic table, you realize there only have two more space between the osmium and the gold. So gold has three more protons than osmium. That's one thing. And the second, if you look at the atomic number or weights, you'll find out the gold is roughly 6.9 more than osmium. What's the meaning of it? And it means the three is coming from three more protons in gold. Another 3.9 or 3.7 coming from the number of the protons, the neutrons, 3 to 4. More number of the neutrons in the gold than osmium. And since gold has three more protons, it must have also three more electrons. So that's the reason you have the answer of the D. Mm-hmm. All the elements must be added at least, because the osmium has isotopes, so you can realize that now some osmium need to add 3 neutrons to get gold, some other need to add 4 to go to gold. So that's the reason. Is the table? Yes. Question. Yeah.
Why do you need to have the neutrons in general? Because it, technically speaking, you could just have an ion of gold that just weighs a lot less.
Our atomic number is defined based on the protons. But what matters is not what we define. What matters is what naturally we find in the nature. How do they look like? So in the nature, it turns out more or less, you know, you find a girl, you see roughly the same number of the neutrons and the protons. In principle, you're right. You may find one with less number of neutrons. And the number of neutrons may differ, we call them isotopes, right? Yeah. What? D is right. You need ABC. Else need to add. So that's the reason D is the right answer. And at least, add the ABC must be done to get it done. So the right answer is D here. Okay. So this is another question. What do you think this question is? So I'm going to pick roughly 6 or 7 the question you made the most mistakes for the class. So which one is the right answer here? Well, please vote for your answer. So in PET scans, positron emission tomography, used in medical diagnosis, radioactive tracers emit a positron, which then what happens? Emits one positron, which then what happens? So I'm now release the class answer here. The class answer. So we should discuss now. So hopefully you can.
see here, A means one, so it means one cottage. What happened to that one cottage? Right, so I'll close this note and then you can change your mind again to vote again. Okay? And here, so I'll show the class dancing here. So the class now. So what's the answer? It's only 23 students and more. So what do you think right answer? Okay. For the sake of time, I'll tell you A is the right answer. So what is the right answer? Because a position says A position. A position is one antiparticle to electron. So it will annihilate an electron in the body. That is right. It will not annihilate zero electrons, no. It will not create electron. It will not create zero electron. It will not produce an ultrasound source. So the right answer is A. Annihilates.
Where is the electron and what part of your body is it annihilated?
Remember, our body is made by atoms. Atoms is made of the neutron, proton, electron. So electrons are everywhere. So a position comes in, we annihilate one electron. And your body definitely becomes negative charge now, but the charge can come from the ground into you again, but meet you again. So that's the story here. How about this? Which one do I ask? In the first train passing you while you're standing on the platform, you may feel a force pushing you toward the train. The principle that explains this is which principle? Right. I want you to vote to answer. So what is the reason for the physical principle will explain that if you stand by, why you are warned against standing nearby a passing fast train. You're warned against that. Do not stand nearby the platform, right? You hear that all the time. Why? That's the reason. And which principle is behind that reason? So the class have answered now. It's a class answer. And great. You are right. This is the right answer. Yeah. The right answer is A. The Bernoulli's principle explained this phenomenon. So what is happening? It is very, very simple. You're standing here, right? The train is passing by. The train is pushing the air with it. So air moving at a very fast speed in front of you. So the air is moving faster in front of you, the air is moving much slower behind you. If the motion of the air is faster, it's going to have lower pressure, according to the Bernoulli's principle. So basically, the Bernoulli's principle says the sum of pressure and this kinetic energy density of the air molecule is a constant. So kinetic energy of the air molecule plus the pressure is a constant. Now the kinetic energy of the molecules in front of you is larger now due to the pushing of the train.
so the pressure in front is smaller. The pressure in front is smaller, pressure behind is larger. This pressure difference produces a force pushing you toward the train. This force can be dramatically huge. So you can be like something sucked into the train. So that's very dangerous, standing nearby the train. If the train is speeding beside you. So the right answer is A. Okay, let's look at another one. This is indeed relatively simple, but we made a lot of mistakes in the exam. So which one's the right answer? Please vote for your question. Which of the following is not the transversal layer? So actual question, which wave is not a transverse wave? Okay, I'll share the class answer here. Oops, where is it? Sorry. So, I think we made, now everyone's right. Unfortunately, in the exam, I'm not doing so well. So, sound wave is not a transverse wave. The water wave is a transverse wave, right? Water go like this, and the public direction transverse wave. Light wave transverse wave. Shocking wave, maybe transverse, maybe longitudinal wave, doesn't matter. So have easier possibilities. And the sound wave definitely is longitudinal wave. So it is not a transverse wave. Okay. How about this one? This one again with a lot of mistakes in class for the exam. Suppose you sound a 512 Hz tuning fork. We'll strike a note on the piano and hear 2 beats per second. You tighten the piano string when you tighten it, but slightly making it a higher pitch, and now hear 1 beat per second. What is now the frequency of the piano string? So which one's the right answer? So please, okay. With our class answer now. Okay. Now the class is really wonderful. Again, you made already right answer again. So the right answer D. You are right. In the exam, almost I only see many, not very many right answers in the exam. One answer is D, 511 Hz. So anyone explain it? Anyone explain it for the class? Why the answer is D? Anyone, you would. Okay, let me do it. So why this answer is 511 Hz? First, when at the first moment you hear 2 hertz beats with the piano and the 512 tuning fork. So it means the piano at that moment have a frequency either 510 or 514, right? They're going to produce 2 hertz beats. Now you tighten the string a bit. So the piano's frequency goes up a bit. At that moment, you hear 1 hertz beat. What can happen? If the initial one is 510, You tie them up, you go to 511, and you can hear one hertz beat. On the other hand, initial one to 514, you tie it up, you get five, you cannot go to 513. You go either, you're further away. So the only answer is the originally the piano is at 510 hertz, and you tie it a bit, you reach 511 hertz. And now at 511 hertz, you hear one hertz beat. That's the reason the answer is D. You hear the one hertz beat. Okay, you get it? Is it clear now? The beat is given by the frequency difference. So that's the way you convert a very fast frequency to a small frequency. Okay, here's another one. I believe this is almost our last one now for the whole set of difficult problems. So I ask you to choose the right answer for this guy. Compare to the electric force between one proton and one electron. The electric force between a microscopic ball holding two protons and a ball holding two electrons. Comma, held at half the distance apart. Is. This question is not only about your physics, also about your English. So it's about your understanding about the wording here in this question. So which one's the right answer? I believe it's very important. Here's a comma here, and two commas in the sentences. In this sentence, very, very important. So who is telling at a shorter distance apart? Is the distance between one proton and one electron, or the distance between two balls? Which one is held at a shorter separation? Which one? So read the sentence again. The distance between one proton and one electron, and distance between the two balls, which one is shorter? Which one is shorter? This is English problem. Which one is shorter? Which one?
The first one
is shorter, yeah. The distance between the one proton and one electron is half of that distance between one ball and another ball. So now pick the answer, and let me show the past answer here. Here's our past answer. So, okay, please discuss. It's time for your discussion. To nail down which right answer. Suppose this is your exam, it's Friday. Which one's the right answer? So the force between two charges equal to force charge one times charge two over distance squared, right? That's the force. So close it, ask you to vote again. Once you make up your mind, really important to talk to your friends before you make, if you are confused about it, talk to your friends first. And then pick up one answer and answer it again.
Okay.
So any student made up your mind already, you can speak up, tell us, tell the class why, what you pick, what you pick. Okay, anyone do it? So please make up your mind. You can talk to your neighbor and try to convert to one right answer with your neighbors. So once you make up your mind, please vote. It's our class answer. Still unmade up your mind. So which one's right? So let me give you another round of hints about it. The force between two charges is given by the product of two charges, say charge 1 times charge 2, over the separation squared. Well, that's the force. Charge 1 times charge 2 over their separation squared. That's the value of the force. And from the reading of this question, the distance between the proton and the electron is half the distance between two balls. The left ball has two protons, the right ball has two electrons. So now, can you now tell me again? So if happens to your mind, make a choice now, you can change your mind, okay? If not, you can change your mind now with my hints you again. I'll give you another hint. This answer is not right.
Nice.
So which one's right? Yeah, go ahead.
So it's E.
It's E.
E, which is 16 times.
16?
Because, okay, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Basically, the two different things we're doing.
Yeah, okay.
So the first thing we're doing is we're having the distance, which makes it four times as large if you do it, if you make it so that if you show the die, if you write it out, because 2 squared is, so it'd be over, whatever it is, over 4.
Okay.
And so, and then if we take the above and do the same thing, mm-hmm. It goes from 1 times 1, which is 1.
Okay.
So 1 fourth compared to 4 over 1 is 2 times 2.
And okay.
If you take how many 1 fourths are in 4, it's 16.
Okay. So actually, a simple question. So which is shorter, the distance between the proton electrons and the distance between the two balls? Which distance is shorter? Who is half of who? Right? If you read a sentence very carefully, what do you get from the reading? The hell at half the distance. Who is hell at the half the distance? The distance between the two balls, or the distance between the proton and the electron? Who is held at half the distance? The comma here is very important. If you read the sentence very carefully, you realize the distance between the proton electron is half of the distance between the two balls. Okay? Right? Is that right? So now you can make the right choice. Let me see what's your new choice now.
Can you draw a picture of that? I don't understand that.
Okay, let me first tell you the right answer is and explain to you why the right answer is A. So, let's think about left case is one proton, one electron separated by half the distance. So it's 1 times 1 divided by 0.5 squared. The answer is 4. Right. The right case, you have one ball is 2, another ball is another 2, separated by one distance. So the force is 2 times 2 over 1 squared, equal to 4. So both will yield the same magnitude of the force. And the answer is A. Okay, so that is the right answer to this question. I think so. If, on the other hand, the hail at half the distance is used to describe the separation between the two balls, then your right answer is 16 times. But this hail at half distance indeed describes the distance between the electron and the proton due to the karma. If there's no karma, then you're right. Okay? So let's write that. Okay. So at this moment, let me see what's time now. We'll take a very short break. I've asked you to take this time to try to do the class evaluation. Your input is anonymous, so no one knew anything about what you did, you like, you don't like. So I'll give you 5 minutes. Can you do something now? And because it's very important, the class responsibility to learn. We only have 20% response. We need to go to 75% response. So I'll go to the first slide. It has information for you. Please go there. Please do that. Yo, the phone, do it now. Your computer does that now, please do it 5 minutes. Okay? If you have anything with you, you can do it. We'll have a short break for 5 minutes. Resuming 5 minutes of lecture. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So I thank you very much for submitting your feedbacks, and also hopefully if you not have time to finish it, and please do that. And it's going to close very quickly. So close, I think, the 13th last day. Please do that today, okay? If you have no time to finish now. So let's resume our review session. At this moment, I want to turn attention to the chapters we have not yet reviewed. These are the last four chapters. So we'll go over some questions. I just talk about a few questions, and hopefully we'll help you. And the whole slide will be uploaded to the Blackboard after class. You can read all of them. So which one right here for this question? So you can pick your answer now. It says, if you stretch a copper wire so that it's now thinner, and the resistance become between its ends now, its decrease, remains unchanged, or increase? What happens? So you can now pick your answer for it. Once you reach the half point, you should cast answer to it. See, what do we think about it? Here's the answer. Wow. The perfect spread. So which one's the right answer? You cannot talk. Hopefully you cannot get it right now. You can talk. Which one's right? I have a copper wire. And I now stretch it. So what is with this resistance? Resistance is different than resistivity or something, right? Resistance is how hard for the electron to move across it, basically. When you stretch the copper wire, does the difficulty for the electron to flow from one to another change a lot? That's a question, right? So you can talk about, let me see what's the new answer now. Not still like this. Okay. So we slowly realize one thing now. This is right. Increase is right.
Yes.
So the answer is increase. The thinner, longer the conductor, the greater the electrical resistance. So indeed, the easy way to understand that the electronic cars, and it is riding on the highway. So basically, you're going to stretch the wire, make the highway narrower, and also longer. So by doing that, it is much more difficult to move the cars across. It's the same thing for the electrons. It's more difficult to move the electrons across it, and its resistance increases. Okay, that's one thing. And the similar one, this is very similar. Let's take another question here. Talk about the same idea, so what's the answer here? Very similar. Now I should answer that. Two lamps, one with a thick filament and another one with a thin filament of the same material, are connecting serials to the battery. The voltage is greater across lamp with a thick filament red across the lamp with a finger filament, the same for the both lamps. The voltage is what? Remember, the key point is, you can answer here already? So you get the right answer already, I think. Is the right answer here now? Let's see. The answer? Yeah. So the answer is B. You're right now. You need the very same idea for the earlier question. Basically, the thick filament has a wider highway, so it has lower resistance. The lower resistance, once they're connecting serials, and it means they have the same current running through them, the thick one has lower resistance, the voltage is lower. And the thin one has higher resistance, the voltage is higher. Okay? If on the other hand, if I change the connecting serials to the normal connection, which is connecting parallel to the sockets, which one is the right answer? If I replace in serials to in parallel, which one, A, B, and C, which one is the right answer? You can put in your answer now. I'll show you here which one is the right answer. If replace the serials to parallel, the right answer indeed is C. They have same voltage. Okay, so this part now is okay now. Let's move further on. Let's move a little faster. No, this is not a good idea. How about this? The source electrons lightning incandescent AC light bulb is what? So which one is the right answer? So this basically is about one simple common sense about how the electron, how fast they move inside the wire, right? The signal moves very fast, speed of light. However, the electron's local motion is very slow. And with that, we can answer this question. So we lighting a lamp by electrons. So the electron comes from the power company, the electronic outlet, or electric atoms in the light bulb filament, or the wire leading to the lamp, or the source voltage. Let me see the class answer. Here is our class answer. So you are right, the electron inside the lamp. That's the answer to this question. Let's move on. Oh, this one. Let's move to a different one. Which is right about the source of magnetisms? The source of all magnetism is A, tiny piece of iron, B, tiny domains of
aligned atoms. C, ferromagnetic materials. D, moving electron charges. Which one is the right answer? What is the source of a magnetic force? Okay, so let's see the class choice here. Great, we did a very nice job basically. And most of you get it right that the moving charges are the only source for all magnetisms. Indeed, the ferromagnetic materials contains within it permanent running currents inside. And the domains of aligned atoms, indeed, they also contain the running currents inside. So that's the reason, the sole reason is they are moving electric charges. That's the reason for all magnetic phenomena we have. Okay, so here is another question. Which one's right? An iron rod becomes magnetic when what happens? That's about how we get a magnetic bar, a magnetism, how we get it. So which one's the right answer? Okay, so we have a competition. So you can talk now, and I just want you guys to get the right answer. If any happened inside the final, one did you give the right. So which one's the right answer? Talk to your friends about it. Which one's the right? Basically, it's a B or C, right? So which one the right answer? Once you have some discussion, I should answer again. Okay, I'm putting your answer. This is half your discussion. Now I think so.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so let me first tell you the right answer, and then say why one is wrong, okay? So right on this C. Why B is not right answer? B says the atoms are aligned, having plus charges on one side and negative charges on the other. That's when the one rod becomes polarized by electric field. Here is becoming magnet. So the B is not right. Becoming magnet means the atoms within it align in one direction. Their spin points one direction. There they have the permanent current along the same direction, produces a big effect you can observe. So that's a C. The net spins electrons in the same direction. What's a spin? Spin is a running, like a running current, like this, it's a spin. So once they all align the same direction, they always come like this. So the whole rod looks like this, like kind of running like this. And that produces a magnetic field surrounding it. So that's the reason C is the right answer. Now it's why A is wrong. It says power two ions that came at the one end, the net ions at another end. Not possible. Iron doesn't move. Iron doesn't move, okay?
Only that chunk can move around. Okay, now let's look at another one. What's this? What's the right answer for this guy? Moving electric charges will interact with what? This is very basic, but I think you should know. So here is a class answer. Definitely, we should all know this is the right answer here. So moving electron charges are moving with both electric field and magnetic field. So moving charges will interact with magnetic field. On the other hand, if a charge is direct, it can only interact with electric field. A charge at rest will not interact with magnetic field. Only a charging, a moving charge, will interact with both electric field and magnetic field. So that's, I think, the point you want to know. Let's move on. How about this? Magnetic field lines about a current-carrying wire extend radially from the wire, circles the wire in closed loops. Choices A and B are both correct. None of the above choices are correct. So which one's the right answer? So please pick your answer. So think about that. We have in class, we show some diagrams about the electric field of magnetic field lines. You can have a magnetic bar like this, right? Also, you can have a line like this. You may not remember very much about this part. Let me tell you, this is the class answer here first. This is our class answer. So let me just say that are not the right answers indeed. Let me tell you first the right answer for this question. So the right answer is B. Circles of wire in closed loops. That is very different between the magnetic field and electric field. So basically, remember, if you have the wire like this line, then the field like in circles like this. Okay? So field is like circles, and there's a wire inside. That's the magnetic field. And if you have magnets, your lines like this, a field, as a kind of like the, in the coils, then a field again surrounding in circles. But these circles merging larger one will go inside and get outside, in circles again, surrounding the wire. And the first answer extends radially from the wire. Indeed, it's talking about behavior for the electric field. If a heaven has charges on the wire, the charge will produce electric field, radiates radially away from the wire. And magnetic field is very different than electric field. It always circles around the wire in closed loops. So that's the main thing. Yes.
I'm confused because I remember the picture where the electric field is going in that direction and the magnetic field's perpendicular to it. What's that?
Ah, that indeed is very far away from the source area. Only talk about locally one region, a tiny region. So, for example, I have. Let me make one thing. Let me. Can I write here? I do not think I write. Can I write here? Let me write something. Can I write? Let me see. Okay, good. This is a wire, right? So then the magnetic field always like this. Circles around it all the time. Have more wire still circles around. It's closed circle. The circle is closed. If you look at this tiny local region here, my rectangular region, you may find out the magnetic field, the nuclear electric field, that doesn't say about the global behavior, that the field is still surrounding somewhere in space, in the coast. Okay? So this is the first thing we have. Okay, let's move on to our next one, but I want to go a little more further down the low. Okay, this may be a thing you may want to know a little. So the aurora light shows can be seen at the locations nearer the poles rather than nearer the equator because they arise from what? This northern light or southern light behavior. The reason for this light are from which reason? So which one's the right answer? Can you pick one? Let me show the class answer to this one. Ah. But our class didn't get it quite right. Because no, medicine made it is quite right. It's the right answer. It's coming from cosmic rays. They were not affected by the Earth's magnetic field. So basically, of Earth has a protection surrounding. You can see here, go this way in, go out. Go that way in here. Over the north and the south pole, you have issues. And these poles, the cosmic ray, which are charged particles, is not deflected in the retro surface of Earth. And by collision with the atmosphere molecules, you produce this behavior. You see the rays. Okay, we now have this. We have the last few minutes. Let me try to squeeze in another few questions, if possible. Let's go to light. I want to give some light questions. Okay. So maybe this one is easy enough, but for an interesting one, which one's the right answer? A divider transforms magnetic energy into electrical energy is what? The pink answer. It should be simple for you to do, right? No, it's not that simple. Which one's the right answer? Now you're right. It is generator. It is generator. So generator, motor, transformer, magnet, now is above. Okay, I'm very I think I can squeeze into another question. Let me go further down the low to get a light here. I get a light. So which one's right? Which of these electromagnetic waves has the shortest wavelength? Which one's right? Okay. Here's
last answer.
Wow. You should talk, please. Here we go. Get this one right at least, right? So which one's right? Next to the right answer. Okay. Please vote again for the class. Now she'll write out the math. So it's actually about the shortest of wavelengths. What do you mean the shortest wavelengths? Means the highest frequency, right? So which one has shortest wavelengths? Red light or blue light has shorter wavelengths? Blue has shorter wavelengths, right? Higher frequency. So which one is more blue? Blue, beyond blue. And you can see here now, the right answer indeed is C. So it is. So radio wave has meters as wavelengths. Like infrared waves has micrometers as wavelengths. Light waves has roughly 0.5 micrometers as wavelengths. And ultraviolet waves has roughly 0.3 or 0.2 micrometers as wavelengths. So among all the light here, the first answer C has the smallest wavelengths possible. Okay? So that's very important, and at this moment, I have to do two things. First, please enter your ID. And second, please complete the survey. If you have not done it yet, it's very important. Please do tonight, okay? And third, review these review slides. I'll upload now in a minute to the breakfast and everything. And I'll see you here this Friday at 2:10 here. Only bring up pencil and eraser. Okay? And good luck, everyone.
Thank you. I'm also a little confident, but it's not.